Treat yourself as if you're the CEO of Self Incorporated.
Okay.
Treat your boss like he's your customer, because he is. She or he is your customer.
Yes.
That's who you're selling your services
That's
to.
That's an internal customer, we call that.
And treat your work like your product.
Welcome to the Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
Disruption Zone. This is a short version. This is just me and Cameron talking. Don't worry, it'll be entertaining.
We decided a few weeks ago we needed to do
I know.
That well, we were so good on our own.
Actually, by popular demand, so many people said to us, guys,
your wife does not count as popular demand.
Shut up, man. Don't tell anybody that. by the way, let's thank some people for this amazing show and the opportunity we get.
Okay.
iHeartRadio obviously helped
us. I'm not prepared to do this, but I'll follow along.
Dynamics Audio Productions.
Oh, yes.
Here in town. They let us go in. We did a little photo shoot there, let us set up in their studio. Neil Kesterson is awesome.
It's funny that we use Dynamics Audio and Sound neither for audio or sound.
Right. And we used it for pictures.
Yes.
But that's because not only is he a stellar audio engineer,
okay,
but he's also got a really cool studio.
Yes, he did. That,
it
that
had
was
a great ambiance to it.
And so. To Hunter Mitchell for taking
Hunter Mitchell
those pictures.
Hunter Mitchell for the pictures.
Yeah. And people can find him. I think it's Mitchell Photography, something like that online.
Yep.
Something
yep.
like that. Hunter Mitchell Photography. You can find him on Instagram. But he is actually my former intern and... now co-host. I've promoted him.
Sweet.
To co-host on my radio show. And he is he is one of these young people. He's a millennial. We mock him all the time for that. But he is a hardworking millennial.
He's got a work ethic,
yes.
Which brings us to the topic of our discussion. Work ethic.
Yes.
Does anybody have it anymore? And is it a disruptor in the current work scene?
Oh, that's the sad thing, right?
Okay.
That it actually is.
All right, so let's start with this.
All right.
Where's your work ethic come from? You are honestly one of the hardest working people I've ever met. You've got like 1,000 different projects going on. Somehow or another, you managed to follow through. It's amazing because you have no attention span.
No.
I don't know how you follow through on stuff.
I think it lends itself to that, because if I had to do one job, only one job,
you'd get bored.
And I had to do it 9 to 5 every day, like my dad did for 35 years. I think I would be a pitiful worker, but because I'm self-employed, with the exception of my job with LHC Group, even that job has afforded me a lot of, here's what I would say about here's what I've done. I've made myself, I'm willing to do anything.
Right.
If I've got a job with LHC.
I saw you sweeping the floor at the mall the other day. I was like, wow,
yeah,
Cameron's got a job at the mall.
I think I actually spilled something.
Oh, okay.
I think that's why I was probably sweeping up. But I've worked for LHC Group now for 12 years. They are the largest home care and hospice company in the country. And I'm the only one in my company that has the title that I have. And it's a made-up title called Senior Management Liaison. And basically, it's just they didn't know what to do with me. They won't fire me so far. They won't let me go. Because I think it's because I'm willing to do whatever. I don't have I've taken my ego completely, and honestly, I never had an ego in the business world, because that's not my forte. It's not my calling. It's not what I want to do. So I'm willing to do the sweep the floor jobs.
Hey, you're a cocky SOB on the basketball floor.
Well, I can be. But I love the idea. I just it's one of those things where I think I've made myself in some sense.
Right.
And this may sound a little arrogant or egotistical, and I'm guessing. I look at the situation. I'm like, okay, I have no direct effect on referrals. I don't help the company grow. What do I do? What value am I adding to LHC Group? And I think a lot of it is whatever you want me to do.
Right.
When I get a call from our chairman, our CEO, he says, okay, I need, because in 12 years, I've had 10 different roles with this company. And so I've had my foot in just about every side of the non-clinical part of what we do. So on the sales side, on the mergers and acquisitions side, on the particularly the local sales side, the national sales side, the customer service side, the recruiting side, I've done all that because, okay, that's okay.
Right.
That's my attitude about everything. I don't really feel like, it's one of those things where I've taken my ego out of it, and so I'm willing to do whatever. And because of that, I've been able to maintain employment with this company that is growing, one of the fastest growing healthcare companies in the country.
I think you've already hit on the key. I can't pronounce, I don't want to pronounce on everybody whether I think there's a work ethic missing in society today.
Oh, yeah.
I truly believe that. And I think what you just hit on is that willingness. I was raised the same way you were, I think. You know, my dad was always like, do what needs to be done.
Yep.
And do it without complaining.
Yep.
And do it as good as you can possibly do it. I mean, my dad had all these annoying sayings, you know, like, if anything's worth doing, it's worth doing right.
Yeah, well, we talked about that with Governor Bevin. He had the same thing, a dad that kind of, a whole bunch of colloquialisms kind of he'd hit you with.
But I had a defining moment in this one time when I was about 15. My dad came and pulled me out of school one day. And he said, he was managing a construction company. And he said, my guys are not getting it done. Mm. I told them they had to be done with this project by the end of today. And I can tell by the pace they're on, it's not going to be done.
This reminds me of our time with your dad in Arizona.
And he goes, we're going to teach him a lesson. My dad pulls me out of school. He goes, you and I are going to do it. And I'm sending them home. So this happened. So my dad, he takes me back to the work site. And he goes and he gets all the guys on his crew and he lines them up. And he goes, you guys are worthless today. Mm. You've been worthless on this whole project. Go home. My 15-year-old son and I are going to finish the project by deadline. Yeah. And he sent him home. And my dad and I were, it's like, I remember the deadline because it was like a government
was
contract.
Was it like the next day or something?
No, it was midnight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
One of those government contracts.
So technically the next day.
Yeah, technically the next day, but it had to be done. But he was like, he was going to get it done. And I remember at like 11 o'clock at night, we were putting the last pieces of tile on the floor.
Wow.
And there's like sweat just pouring off his nose, you know? Yeah. And he's like, sometimes you just have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, that was like a defining moment for me. And after that, he never had any problem out of that crew again. He didn't fire them. He just sent them home and embarrassed them.
What I love about this story is that it wasn't a firing. It was we're going to teach you.
Yeah, he was like, if my 15-year-old
son and I. Basically, you all embarrassed them.
Yes.
Which is good. It's that public shaming that I hate and love. You know, it's that.
But it was for grown men.
I know, but look, and that's part of it, too, is that at what point are you a grown man, right?
Right.
I'm gonna guess just a 22, right? At college, you're still not. There's still a lot of immaturity. And I think, because I've kind of come to the conclusion that no one should be allowed to be married in this country until they're 35.
Right.
That should be the cutoff. Because, I mean, you're still so much a child, and there's still so much immaturity when you're in your 20s. But, you know, I've talked to Hunter Mitchell. We talked about him earlier. Hunter, he has a very specific thing he wants to do in life. It's not, and this will lead us to another conversation another time, and that's about education and what that is. But he went to UK because he got involved in, or he majored, got a degree from UK's School of Journalism and Media, I think it's called. But he wants to be a play-by-play radio, very specific, radio play-by-play guy for volleyball games. Now, I don't know how many of those jobs are actually out there, okay?
Right.
But the thing is that Hunter's attitude is, okay, how do I, he's not expecting this. And that's what I love about him, because I hear, and it's a consistent thing. Look, if I'd heard from one or two people who have, you know, who work in companies and deal with, you know, our newest round of, our newest, I don't want to say millennials. I just our newest generation of workers that are coming out of college right now.
Right.
They are about as frustrated as they could be because there seems to be an attitude about them that they don't want to work, but they want to get paid. And it's palpable almost, and it's amazing because I always thought, okay,
are you talking about the attitude towards millennials?
No, I'm talking about the attitudes of millennials.
Okay.
And again, I want to be careful because I hate the idea that we just pile on this generation.
Yeah,
we do.
Sure.
But at the same time, like everyone I ask, because I'm interested in this, like how can one generation be that much vastly different than another?
You and I are like the older brother of millennials.
We are.
We're not baby boomers.
Apparently, we're like right on the edge of being one of them, which I thought was funny because I thought there was Generation X, which is what we were. Then there's Generation Y, and then we get to millennials.
We're X, but we're tail end.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like right in that sweet spot where it's kind of like we're the older brother. So we can say things to them, about them, and for them.
Yeah.
Because I'll defend them sometimes. I mean, I had an 18-year-old guy that had just graduated high school call my radio show the other day, and he was getting ready to go be a welder.
Okay.
And he was laughing at his classmates, saying when they get out of school in 4 years, they're going to be $100,000 in debt.
That's right.
He goes, I'll be making $60,000 by Christmas.
He'll be making $100,000.
And by the
long
time they're a sophomore, I'll be making six figures.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, somebody raised this kid right.
Well, it's not just that they, because look, he's willing to work. Someone's also spoken some wisdom into him, yeah. And that leads us to another topic we're going to have soon about what an education is. I will tell you this, the exciting thing to me about Hunter is Hunter now is, he was an intern for me for a year on my radio show. Now he's a co-host, which basically means he makes sure I'm accurate with the statistics I throw out, which I never am. But what I love about him is he's a board op.
Right.
At WLAP in Lexington. So he's working radio. And I told him, look, this is not, I realize that this job, you don't even have to have a degree to have this job. You don't, I don't know if, maybe you don't have to have a high school diploma to have this job, okay, as a board op in Lexington. I don't know.
Right.
But what I do know is he's willing to do it. He's willing to, you know, graduate with a degree from UK and then say, okay, but if this is what I want my career to be, I've got to step back and do some hard work.
Here's the thing.
And put my time in.
Right. I spent some time as an interim professor, I guess you'd call it that, at teaching.
I think that's
at
funny.
At my alma mater.
Yes, you did.
Filling in for my professor. I wasn't a professor because that's like a official.
You were a, let's call you a teacher's assistant.
Visiting.
TA.
Yeah, TA, whatever. I spent some time doing that. So I taught a freshman level class and a senior level class.
Okay.
What I thought was different was the difference between the attitudes in them, right?
Okay.
A freshman level class was a gen ed for the major. It was a communications class.
Okay.
But it was a gen ed. Everybody had to have it that had a communications major.
Okay.
So I come. All these kids are freshmen, and they all think they're the next Demi Lovato.
Right.
They all think they're the next, you know, the next Brad Pitt. They all think because it's a radio class. They have to have.
Oh,
they hate it.
Oh, they hate it.
But
I
that's
see.
Not what they're going to do. They're going to be on the.
No,
big
they're
going to.
Yeah, they're going to be above that. Okay.
And of course, the senior level class, they already know what they're going to do. So that class was specific to those kids. Worked their butt off.
Yeah.
Because they knew what. So anyway, the funny thing was, after a little while, I kind of caught on to it, and I was like, "All right," I said, "I'm going to shock these guys." I said, I know all y'all have big dreams.
Which
I got
up
in the class. I said, all y'all have big dreams. I said, but do you know what every one of you is going to have to do to get wherever it is you want to be? And they're all sitting there because they're thinking they're going to get this big tip. You know, it's like Joey on Friends when he's trying to tell all the acting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're trying to act. I said,
what a great pull.
You're going to have to push a mop at a radio station.
Exactly.
And their faces were just crestfallen.
Oh, I know.
And I was like, look, man, you're going to have to do it. I mean, I had to ride around in the Wienermobile on the phone.
I don't know what that
calling
means.
Calling in a Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Right. I don't know why you were doing that.
I had to, like.
And that's led you to this.
Cover the crowd for semi-pro wrestling. I mean, I had to do some stuff, man. And it was like, I was. You know,
but look, if that's
had
what
to mop
you want,
the radio station
bathroom. That's what gets me. It's the instant gratification that we have in so much of what we're doing right now. It's this is what they've been told they can do anything, which is good. I want them to have the attitude they can do anything, but I also want them to have the attitude of to do what I want to do. I'm not always going to get the glorified jobs. Two things real quick. I don't think I learned what hard work was until I was at UK.
Yeah,
and that was because of basketball. Because I was told. This will be. You will eat, sleep, and drink basketball. It wasn't the only thing about education. I wasn't told I was going to eat, sleep, and drink books. No, you're going to eat, sleep, and drink basketball. And that's what it was. Listen, when I got sent, drawn out of class, I'll never forget it. Anthropology class. Now, why I was even taking that, I don't know.
Sounds easy.
I got a degree in psychology. I guess there's some connection, but that's another topic for another day. But I got pulled out because I had two teammates getting a fight. And my coach called a team meeting. This is at 6 o'clock at night. Now, that's back to class time.
Right.
No. No, team meeting matters more than your anthropology class. So it threw me out. But I learned how to work because I saw my coaches not doing anything other than studying film and prepping and recruiting, and it was all about this is what matters, and that is what mattered to all of us. That's why we came to UK. It's why I turned down scholarships to other places to go to UK, because I wanted to be amongst the best. But to be amongst, look, those championships don't just happen.
Right.
Those are, I mean, people don't understand. That's why right now, you know, we're going
not
through
just because you have good players.
No. As a matter of fact, that's an important part, but that's nothing if it doesn't turn into gelling and family and working hard and brothers. And that's what, you know, right now we're going through this thing at UK where we've had our time down in the Bahamas. We look good. And so now there's this definitive pronouncement. This is a Final Four team. I'm like, everyone, please shut up.
Yeah.
No. It's August.
You have no idea.
And not only that,
it's on the way and all of that.
Oh, and these guys have so much hard work in front of them.
We got to wrap this up. But if you were going to leave a lesson then on hard work for anybody that's listening that's curious about this topic, I mean, why go the extra mile?
because you make yourself invaluable to whoever is employing you. No one wants to fire the person or lay the person off that's willing to do whatever, whenever asked.
What about the attitude, though, that I see from a lot of young people today, and that is, well, they're not loyal to me, so why should I go the extra mile?
What does loyalty mean in that sense? They gave you a job. Does that mean? They should give you a raise every 3 months?
Yeah.
No, make yourself invaluable, and it'll come.
Right.
I mean, look, I was working for a bank one time, real quick. I'll be real quick about this. I was working for Bank of Texas in Dallas, Texas, and we opened a brand new branch in Plano, which was like Plano was the brand new area of the country, like all these brand new million-dollar homes, and everything was nice, and all the shops and the retail was just upper scale. And the senior VP, like the second man in this enormous company, this enormous bank in Texas, came in, flew in just for the opening of this branch. And so we've got food there. We've got, you know, our local people coming in. I mean, it's a busy day. I'm behind the teller counter as a teller. I'm the teller, custodial staff. I mean, you know, that's what it was. This senior VP comes in and he's talking. He's very, very friendly. But I noticed he didn't draw attention to himself when he did this. I just noticed it, and I'll never forget it. Someone spilled some of the food on the floor. Did he go get the custodian staff? No.
Cleaned it up?
He cleaned it up. He got down in his suit, hands and knees, and cleaned up the floor because it wasn't reflecting well upon this brand-new branch, upon this bank, upon this company, and therefore upon him.
That's
awesome.
He
took care of it himself. He didn't ask. He very easily, I would have done it.
Yep.
Cameron, could you go sweep that up for us? No. He did it.
Here's
at the high level he was at.
That's awesome. I love that story. Here's the lesson that I would give. I would say to everybody that would be interested in this, treat yourself as if you're the CEO of Self Incorporated.
Okay.
Treat your boss like he's your customer, because he is. She or he is your customer.
Yes.
That's who you're selling your services
to. That's an internal customer, we call that.
And treat your work like your product. If you owned your own business,
yes,
your product would be the services that you deliver to your customer, i.e. your boss. So treat yourself like self-incorporated. You're the CEO.
Yep.
Your work is your product. And your boss is your customer. If at some point that relationship ceases to be profitable both ways, you move to another customer. And that's my life philosophy, and it's worked so far. It's like, look, if you're doing those things, no one's going to fire you. And if they're not paying you enough, somebody else will.
I mean, that's might. I think that's a good. So go, if that's what you're doing, if you're self-employing yourself, would you be loyal to you?
I would.
You would.
I'd be loyal.
But I think that's the question that we've got to ask ourselves.
To my customer.
Would you be loyal? Would you show loyalty to yourself if you were employing yourself?
No, that's a good
point. If that's the thing. Is that if they're saying my company's not loyal to me, well, would you be loyal to you?
Why don't you be loyal to you?
Why don't you be loyal?
Yeah, why don't you be loyal to you? All right, thanks, Cameron.
Yep.
Short version. Thanks for listening, and you can check us out at thedisruptionzone.com. You can download all the latest podcast episodes.